The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $359 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to Ice Time, the Buffalo News' hockey podcast. I'm Lance Lysowski, the Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, joined by our hockey columnist, Mike Harrington. Mike, the Sabres have won four games in a row.
So? I don't really think that's what's going on recently with the Sabres.
What's going on, but we will get to the the portion of our program that was national news this week and will remain a topic of conversation around this team moving forward. Eventful week.
They are playing well. They've won four in a row. They've played well for seven straight games, of which they've won five. You've got to give them credit. They are playing mature hockey. They're not panicking in games. And, you know, that's what you got to do to put together a winning streak. They go into Nashville Saturday night at 4. They need to be at 9, 10, 11 to ever get back in this thing. But they have won four in a row for the first time in 25 months.
You weren't sure how this team was going to react coming out of that winless streak. Were they going to mail it in? Was it going to become a toxic environment around the group? We've seen that before. Not with these particular players, but in the past, when times have gone bad, you can walk in that locker room and you can just sense it. That isn't the case with these guys. They obviously haven't mailed it in. And really, going back to last week, Mike, they came through on Rob Ray night, which I think was important. This team has played pretty well on those special occasion nights. And before we get to the meat of our programming, I think it is important for us to acknowledge Rob Ray and his Hall of Fame induction. And one of the more unique characters in hockey, is he not?
He is. And he's been in this organization for 37 years. And I've said this before in a couple other interviews. You would not have inducted Rob Ray into the Sabres Hall of Fame solely for his playing career. You probably wouldn't have inducted him solely for his broadcasting career, which he's done a fine job as the analyst for many years. Rob Ray is a total package person for the Buffalo Sabres. He is a face of the Buffalo Sabres as a player for almost 900 games, as a broadcaster for 20 years, as the director of the Alumni Association, and as really a face of this team in the community, as a community icon, doing so many things in this community, as your story pointed out, where he doesn't want recognition, where he doesn't want any cameras there taking pictures or taking video. This man will do anything you need. If you ask, if you have something you need Rob Ray to take care of, he will take care of it for you. And that is why he is a Hall of Fame person. That is why he is a Sabres Hall of Famer. There was recognition there from the other members on the committee. Rob Ray, of course, runs the Sabres Hall of Fame pretty much now. There was recognition that he needed to be recognized for all he's done for this team. And, you know, you think back to Rob Ray being part of the hardest working team in hockey in the 90s, and the Sabres needed to play a hard working game against the Nashville Predators. And they did on Friday night. They pulled out that win. Strangely enough, they beat Nashville on Rick Jeanneret night too, a couple years ago. And it was a good win, emblematic of some of the things we saw from Rob Ray back in the day. Not the fighting, just, you know, the commitment to the team, the commitment to the game itself. And that's why it worked. The ceremony was very well done. Rob gave a nice speech. Brad May gave a nice speech. I wish more fans were in the building for Rob Ray's ceremony. It was very sparsely attended, especially at the beginning. The game was not sparsely attended, which tells me the Sabres continue to have traffic problems around KeyBank Center that I experienced one night last month as well. It needs to be worked on. Hello, Buffalo Police. Maybe make some cars move at some point on Washington Street heading into the Harbor Center ramp. There's a commercial for you. All in all, another fine ceremony. Great video presentations with the new scoreboard helping. Gilbert Perreault, Dominic Hasek. And my favorite moment of the night, Lance, the third period timeout where they ran the video tribute from Ty Domi. And he was emotional, he was funny, he was introspective, and he got a huge ovation from the crowd when that video ended.
It always struck me the way that players, even those who aren't from Buffalo, weren't old enough to watch Rob Ray play, the respect that they have for him and what he represents, they will listen to if he shares an opinion, they are all ears. He gives them advice. You know, he, as the alumni association, they talked to all the players at the beginning of the season about this is why we're here. This is what we're going to do to help you, not only now, but moving to the future. And to have somebody in that role, like, you see broadcasters around the league, former players, and there are so many great ones. We can go down the list from team to team. But for Rob, the type of person he is, the commitment to the community, like his love for the team. This isn't a guy, like, yes, he finished his career in Ottawa. He's not from Buffalo, but his wife is. His family's here. Like, he's right. Fully all in. He never considered leaving because this has always been his home, and he's treated as that. And it was funny hearing him tell the stories about his relationship with RJ, and, you know, because Rob, this was never part of the plan for Rob to be a broadcaster.
RJ was the one. Remember, yep. RJ was the one who lured him in. Jim Lorenz was retiring, and they replaced him with Harry Neal. And then with Harry Neal gone, RJ said, I'll stick around a couple of years if you take over the number two chair. And RJ ended up sticking around for another decade, pretty much. And Rob Ray has developed as a broadcaster, and he's learned another craft other than being a hockey player. And it is a craft to be a broadcaster. And sometimes you got to still have your hockey sense to know when to duck the puck when you're standing between the benches. But Rob Ray has done a great job in that role and richly deserved in that Sabres Hall of Fame. And he really, you know, was emotional when Terry Pegula unveiled his plaque in the morning ceremony they taped for Sabres.com. And he said it was hard to believe to see the picture and see the name on the wall. And it's going to be there in perpetuity.
An incredibly funny human being. We could go on and on about the stories that we have about Rob and the things.
He's chirped you as much as he's chirped me, let me tell you.
He certainly has. And to watch, but on the other side of it, you see him, you know, walking away from a media availability and pulling his phone out and watching his son's games. It's just all about, there's so much more to Rob than what meets the eye. People have this idea of what Rob Ray would be like. And yeah, there's some of that when you first meet him because he comes across as abrasive and rough. But
he's testing you.
He did it to Ryan Miller. It was hilarious to hear Ryan Miller explain how he got through a little bit of that rookie introduction there by chirping back at Rob, which is the way that I found was the most effective method to quiet him down a little bit. But that is a good segue into our next topic, Mike. After all the celebration with Rob Ray, we saw the highlights, a reminder of all the fights, the work ethic that he brought night in and night out, the way that he protected his teammates and what that meant to them. We saw 2 days later, Tage Thompson hit in the head on a dangerous high hit by Stefan Nason. How'd the Sabres react, Mike?
Don't wait months for new windows on your home. Express Windows can have them installed in just weeks with high-quality double-hung windows starting at only $359. Call Express Windows for a free at-home estimate or stop by our showroom on Delaware Avenue in Tonawanda.
What was the theme of Rob Ray night, like you mentioned? All the teammates, all the alumni there said, Rob Ray always had our back. Did anyone have Tage Thompson's back on Sunday afternoon against the New Jersey Devils? No one did. A dirty hit from Nason in the head. How it's not a suspension, you'll never explain to me.
That's the NHL.
Couple games for sure. He got a match penalty. And the thing about it, Lance, is remember, Tage Thompson gets hit. He goes this way. His helmet goes that way. You know, he was separated from his helmet. That's how dirty and scummy a hit this was. And Jason Zucker didn't see it. I get it. He was skating with Dougie Hamilton with the puck. Didn't know who got him. Yuri Kalik was looking at it. Do you expect Yuri Kalik to take action on it? No. Owen Power and Matias Samuelson are the guilty parties here. They saw it. They did nothing. And, you know, it looked like on the video, Alex Tuck was yelling from the bench who did it. If you didn't know who did it, the linesman was ushering Stefan Nason down to the tunnel. He was trying to get him out of there before the Sabres got him. So obviously, if the linesman has him, that's the guy. Go get him.
And it's a good bet. It's that guy because he was doing it the entire game. He cross-checked Zucker in the back and sent him almost headfirst into the post, into the goal. So
obviously, we have history here in this franchise. Everyone immediately harkened back to 2011, Milan Lucic, Ryan Miller in the TD Garden in Boston. And that was a play not that similar. Miller's a goalie. Lucic ran him. The difference there, there was no doubt. Everyone saw it. The whole building saw it. He bull rushed Miller when Miller came out to play a puck. There was no confusion as who did it. And when it happened, Andre Sequeira was there. Vanek was there. Tyler Myers was there. They didn't drop the gloves with Lucic. They were there. Gostad came in late. This one was different in that you didn't know who did it right away. Thompson's down on the ice. Miller got up relatively quickly. And everyone just kind of stood around. And,
no emotion. And one thing,
no emotion. None. And one thing about it is if you look at the replay, Jonas Siegenthaler, the Devils defenseman, is with the group of Sabres, and he starts slapping at guys with the stick. Well,
he's throw down right there.
And, yeah, throw down right there on Siegenthaler, even if you're not going to get no ice in at that point. A lot of confusion, you know, after the game. I think some players in the team didn't know that, that was the last meeting with the Devils this season. We'll get them the next time. There is no next time, boys. You're going to see the Devils again a year from now, the way the NHL schedule is going to work. They're going to take notes on that. It just can't go down that way. And we see all the time clean checks addressed. We saw one later that night in New York when Alex Pietrangelo of Vegas got bull rushed, and it was addressed right away by Nick Hague. And this was a dirty, scummy, filthy check that was not addressed. And it was a terrible look. And the Buffalo Sabres as a team got savaged across North America. Media, podcasters, television. I mean, what Paul Bissonnette said on Spittin' Chiclets, holy cow. What Matthew Barnaby said in his X feed, holy cow. They got savaged. They got embarrassed. And have you ever seen a team that the fans were more disappointed with when they just won their third straight game than the Buffalo Sabres were Sunday? It was just an incredible divergence of emotion there with, hey, we've won three in a row, and every fan was just disgusted by what they saw.
Brought me back to when the Sabres were eliminated from the playoffs in 2023, when Kyle Okposo emotionally stated in the dressing room in New Jersey after they lost to the New Jersey Devils, Lindy Ruff's New Jersey Devils at the time.
Yeah,
we're finally a team.
Yeah.
What happened? Right? Because they didn't look like a team after that. And no one. OK, you're not a fighter. I get it. Where's the emotion? You watch teams across the league, the Winnipeg Jets, the Florida Panthers, the Tampa Bay Lightning. What happens when you poke at their goalie after the whistle?
Oh,
you
five
are
guys.
Swarmed
right there.
You are swarmed. It is a pack mentality. That is why Lindy Ruff was as angry as he was after that game. Right, people are wondering where's the emotion. Oh, Lindy's. That's why he was angry, because that is so disappointing for a coach and a retired player like Ruff, who knows. Like, look at all the players he's coached in Buffalo, the guys who have stood up for their teammates, and he's been like, we're 50 games into the season at this point. Like, where's the disconnect? That is it individual motivations? I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to get punched in the face by this guy.
Mostly.
That's what it leads to, right?
Sure. And I think there were angry players on that team.
Yes.
That they were upset with the hit. But the problem was, you look at who was on the ice, Samuelson, Power, you know, Kulik, okay. Zucker didn't see it. I was disappointed in the fact that there were still 15 minutes left in the game. Take somebody else out. They took out your best player. Well, go after Jack Hughes, go after Jasper Bratt, do something.
I did not agree with Lindy Ruff in that sense, for sure.
Yeah, that's the way this league works. And the problem was, they were up 4-2. They get a match penalty. And I think something would have gone down if they had scored on the power play, made it 5-2, had some comfort. Well, what happened? They give up a shorthanded goal. It's 4-3. Okay. I don't care about the 2 points. You're in last place in the Eastern Conference. Address it right then and there. I don't understand how that got away from them. I think of 3 weeks ago, the Devils played Florida. What happened when Matthew Tkachuk and Nico Hischier collided in the corner in a 1-1 game in the third period among two playoff teams? Everybody from the Devils made it to the corner to deal with Matthew Tkachuk and the Florida Panthers. So now the Sabres are worried about 2 points when they're in last place in the conference. It made no sense. It was like everybody lost their minds, including Ruff. I didn't understand what was going on at all. And that was really the frustrating part here. And that's why I speculated they're going to look at this in the rearview mirror later that night and say, holy cow, we screwed this up. And they had a meeting Monday in the arena after canceling practice, clearly, because I think they knew we screwed this up.
We heard plenty of former players express their opinions, including Ryan Whitney, who never hit anybody during his entire NHL career. Oof. But I would love to hear what guys across the league actually had to say about that when they saw the lack of response. Yeah, if you're on, let's just say, the Boston Bruins, what would your perception of the Buffalo Sabres be when you see that?
Well, you're laughing.
And it matters.
You're laughing. And the other thing is, don't forget, the Boston Bruins is a good example. In 2021, they did a Zoom call during the COVID time among their players talking about the 2011 Stanley Cup champions. And on that Zoom call was Milan Lucic, and players were joking with him on that Zoom call, you ruined the Buffalo Sabres organization, from the bull rush of Ryan Miller, where there was very little response. Imagine this situation. You know, they didn't ruin the Buffalo Sabres here. They ruined a lot of the Buffalo Sabres reputation. And there are individuals who are really damaged by this, Samuelson and Power at the top of the list. I just think, in general, we know the Buffalo Sabres have been a mentally soft team. They haven't really been physically soft. They've answered this year. Alex Tuck answered Paterka's hit immediately in Prague. Dennis Gilbert has answered a couple times this year. Forget about that stage stuff against Columbus the other night. There's been answers from this team. This has not been a season-long issue. This was a bunch of brain cramps at the same time, a weird lack of reaction, a weird lack of emotion. Everything went haywire here in one terrible moment, which just gets magnified when you're last in the East and you've been out of the playoffs for 13 years in a row.
We are going to talk about that Dennis Gilbert situation in a minute. I think that's a good third topic. But before we move on, Kevin Adams needs to add more toughness to this lineup. This exposure.
Where's the beef?
Right? Like, you're going to get Jordan Greenway back. They need to sign him. There's obviously interest there, as Kevin Adams stated on WGR last week. But they need to add somebody else. You know, last summer, I wanted them to go get A.J. Greer, who was a fighter in Utica, played in Calgary. Now he's at the Panthers. Keegan Kolesar, I know he got signed by Vegas. Go get a guy like that because you need it. Like, I know that get a guy who can actually play a little. Not Ryan Reeves, but look at Matthew Olivier, the guy that Dennis Gilbert
can play.
He can play. And right. That's the kind of thing is,
what did we hear? What did we hear all summer? We have to be harder to play against.
And
they are a little bit, but not remotely close enough to what they need to be. And then in a situation like this, you just got walked over. They weren't hard to play against at all.
A team that's hard to play against doesn't have Zach Benson on its fourth line. I'm sorry.
No.
That's not the purpose of that. So next topic, Dennis Gilbert. What did you make of the situation, Mike? I'll frame it for our listeners who maybe haven't tuned in. It was right off the opening faceoff. Dennis Gilbert in the starting lineup. Matthew Olivier, one of the toughest guys in the NHL, and in Columbus's starting lineup. As soon as the pucks drop, they drop the gloves. They fight. Gilbert wasn't saying anything about it when pressed on how this originated. Was this a
time? I was pressing.
And you pressed, but he wasn't saying anything. He knew he wasn't going to. Alex Tuck, though, showed his hand a little bit by saying, oh, this is something Gibby wanted to do. He wanted everybody to know that this isn't going to happen again. Lindy Ruff wasn't going to say anything. Oh, I saw their starting lineup, so I put Dennis out there. We thought that they might do something. So, yeah, that just a product of that. What do you think actually went down?
First of all, I love Dennis Gilbert. Gilbert, the Sabres need six more Dennis Gilberts. He's not the greatest defenseman in the world, obviously. He's got a huge heart. He's a huge teammate. And let me tell you, people, the kid, obviously, he's from St. Joe's. There might be no one in the last 15 years I've seen happier to have a Sabres jersey on, other than maybe Alex Tuck, than Dennis Gilbert is this year. He is loving the fact he is playing and getting a chance to play for this team. He has lived in that locker room for a long time with his uncle being the former vice president of public relations. And Dennis Gilbert was willing to take the fall for this team. He knew he was probably going to lose that fight. He did lose that fight. Okay. Did Dean Evason put Olivier in the lineup thinking that Buffalo might have its burr up after the jersey thing and something might happen? Let's get it out of the way right away. That's possible. And then Lindy said, all right, I'll put Gilbert in. Did Lindy and Evason work it out together as old coaches. That's possible. Did Dennis Gilbert suggest it? No, I don't. I'm not buying that. I'm buying that it's possible.
I'm not ruling it out. I wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out, but it's lower on the list. Because ultimately, you know, as I sat there and watched that, and I saw Dennis moving up before the puck was dropped, I said to myself when it was over, oh, that'll show the New Jersey Devils. The Sabres staged a fight 3 seconds into the next game against Columbus. If you remember 14 years ago, they staged a fight between Gostad and Lucic. Okay, Gostad got his butt kicked, but it was still against Lucic and against Boston. Well, they don't have that opportunity now because there's no more Devils games on the schedule. So it was just a weird, this is how we answer, not answering against the Devils. We're going to fight Columbus's tough guy. Like, what did that?
Well, that's why I don't think Lindy yet. That's why I actually, part of me does believe Lindy when he says that that's what his reaction was. But personally, I think that Dennis Gilbert did have that in mind and communicated to the other side, hey,
I'll do it.
I want to go with him. Let him know. It and happens across the league. These guys have conversations beforehand. Like in Columbus, every guy on Columbus's side understood the situation. Everybody saw the clips that have circulated around the internet. Everybody was calling out the Sabres, questioning their toughness, questioning their togetherness. And Matthew Olivier, I don't know if that guy's lost a fight in the NHL, so he's not going to say no.
No,
and he embarrassed Matt Rempe last year. He embarrasses almost everybody that he fought. So I know that people are mocking and saying like this is embarrassing. Good for Dennis Gilbert. Like, good for you, man. Like he stuck his neck out there for guys who weren't.
Good for Dennis Gilbert.
But not good for
the Sabres.
No.
Not good for the Sabres at all.
That ship sailed, and no one's going to believe, like, all the words that were spoken at the morning skate. You know, Tuck said the right things. Dylan's cousin said the right things. It doesn't matter until you actually show it. And you're going to be tested night in and night out because every team in the league saw that clip with Tage Thompson. And it's going to be open season now. I'm sorry. That's the way this league works. We can push around Buffalo. And that was an issue a couple of years ago, and Kevin Adams tried to address it. He brought in Greenway. He traded for Riley Stillman. Riley Stillman was supposed to be their fighter. He got his face caved in against Tanner Janot his first game. Like, so this has been something that Kevin Adams has worked to address, and he's going to have to continue to do it. Like, you're going to have to get somebody else in here. And that conversation can't be the last one that you have about how these situations need to be approached, because every single night now, they're going to get tested. Their guys are going to get run. They're going to get run at. That's how this league is because they sense weakness. They sense that they can push this team around, and they're going to try to take advantage because they see you as a skilled group, and everybody knows is going to think, how do we slow down the Sabres? Well, let's intimidate them.
Soft, soft, soft. They're going to run.
And not everybody is, though, but I know people hate saying this. It's a young team, but you have Zach Benson. You got Yuri Kulik. Isak Rosén was in the lineup the other night. You still have Owen Power. You still have, this is still young. Like, Peyton Krebs has played almost 400 games. What does he know about winning in this league? Like, he's still only 23, 24 years old. So to insulate these guys in a better way, you need more Connor Cliftons, who's tough. You need more Dennis Gilberts. You need more Jason Zuckers, Jordan Greenways, Alex Tucks. They've done a nice job continuing that process a little bit, but it's not done. Like, I think we've seen this season. You need more.
Jack Eichel wanted 6 years ago. You need more veterans. Jack Eichel, at the end of his career before his injury, was not talking about get more prospects in there. He said more veterans, and they never did it. They never did it in time before they ended up trading Eichel, and they're still lacking in that area. Greenway and Zucker are two terrific additions. In terms of veterans, you need more. You cannot be the youngest team in the league every year. And then you look around and say, gee, why are we in last place? Get NHL players in here and get some toughness, get some mental toughness. They finally seem to got over some of that hump this last couple of weeks. But I just, you know, I have full marks for what Dennis Gilbert did. And there was significance to what he did, far above just he took a fight. But in the big picture, I think a lot of people were laughing at the Sabres for that. What did that prove? You know, it was dumb. It was stupid. It was a move that I understand why Dennis would want to do it, but it just it added to the bad look of this entire situation. And it's no negative view of what Dennis did, but just the whole situation. He shouldn't have even had to do that. It should have already been addressed.
Personally, I don't think it changes anything. The perception from that the inaction after the Tage hit is going to follow that team until they prove people wrong. And you're not going to do it in one game. You're not going to do it with one fight. And they should know that. Like, it's going to happen. You are going to get tested every game in this league now.
Good luck.
You know, every game, they're going to be coming after you thinking you're not going to do anything about it. So we'll see how they respond. Last topic, Mike. One more game until the Four Nations break. Sabres are in Nashville on Saturday. This is so weird. Like, I'm looking forward to the tournament. Guys really care. Like, I talked to Darlene about it this morning. He thought it was hilarious that people around the league are questioning whether there's going to be any intensity. He said, just wait and see. Guys care about this. So it is going to be an interesting tournament. We'll see how the Sabres handle it. Lindy Ruff mentioned we need to get healthy, so it'll benefit us in that way. But we're also playing well, and you don't typically like these breaks when you're playing well because it can kind of throw you out of your rhythm. But it's an opportunity for us to take a look around the league. Columbus is one of the surprises that we can discuss, but I think that, you know, I know you're writing about them probably if you're inside the NHL. There's going to be a lot to be touched on there, and you know, maybe a team we could circle back to. But there's others around the league, and I think Patrick Kane is a good place to start, what he and the Detroit Red Wings have been doing ever since Todd McClellan took over as coach.
Kane scored another shootout goal in Seattle, and the Red Wings have won 7 in a row, and Kane's shootout goal was his 53rd of his career, which sets the NHL record for career shootout goals. We've seen those hands do a lot of damage in the shootouts in previous years. But what it is to me is the Red Wings got the coach bump. Whatever Derek Lalonde was doing wasn't working. They brought in Todd McClellan. They've won 7 in a row now. I think the record's 15-4-1. And they have zoomed up the standings here. They were down near the bottom for a while, and now they have a lot of things going. Their power play is going. They're getting healthier. They're scoring a lot of goals. The Sabres went 1-3 on their Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary trip. The Red Wings just went 4-0. And there's a little difference in standings right there just between those two teams within those four games. But right now, if you're picking the coach of the year in the NHL, your number one choice is probably Spencer Carberry in Washington. You're getting to the point here where Todd McClellan of the Detroit Red Wings is zooming up that list along with Travis Green in Ottawa. And that's a real frustrating thing to me is seeing the Senators third in the Atlantic Division.
They stink.
They do.
I don't get it. Look at the talent. We've seen they've been outscored 9-1 against the Sabres.
Sabres have buried them twice.
If you're a Sabres player, you have to just be scratching your head at that one.
Right. I mean, the Sabres, Ottawa, and Detroit, the whole story going into the season was who was going to take the step up. And clearly Ottawa and Detroit have, and the Sabres have it in a year where Tampa might not make the playoffs, where Boston and the Rangers have both been out of playoff spots for a while. And I think Boston just jumped back in. Columbus fell out last night with the loss in Buffalo. But if you had told me before the year, 50 games in, Tampa, Boston, and the Rangers are all in danger of missing, I would have said, well, this is the year for the Sabres to jump in, and they haven't taken advantage of it at all.
One of the more, I think, exciting storylines, honestly, to the second half of the season is going to be Ovechkin and the chase for the record. I hope that they don't fill it with empty calories of empty net goals. Oh. I hate that. And Spencer Carberry keeps putting him out there with the empty net, and Ovechkin's gotten a few of those. That's just lame.
One-tenth of a second last night.
So one lame. Tenth of a second. Imagine him breaking the record on empty net goals.
No.
They're a really good team, though, and it goes back. And I think the Capitals are a topic worth discussing because you look at all their young kids in Hershey, like all those guys, like you know, Protas, McMichael. They were key players against the Amerks in that Eastern Conference Final a couple of years ago, and there was a lot of pushback in that market. When are these kids going to come up? When are they going to finally contribute? You know, because the supporting cast around Ovechkin was looking pretty bad 2 years ago. Well, suddenly,
What did the front office do? They mixed in their kids, but they went out and got guys like Jacob Chychrun, and they went out and got guys like Andrew Mangiapane. They went out and got some quality NHL players to go around their core, to go around their kids. You know, they made, obviously, the big moves in goal with Logan Thompson, who they've now signed long-term. And I don't believe in the Capitals long-term in the playoffs this year, but they're still in the President's Trophy right in the middle of the hunt with Winnipeg and a couple others. And I think the Capitals are still the heavy favorite now to win the Metropolitan Division. And who knows how far they get. Ovechkin, we're looking at a situation where can he wrap up this Gretzky chase before the end of the season? I guess the pace, there's a pace tracker right now. It has him in the around the April 5th mark. Well, that's interesting to us, obviously, because the Sabres are at Capital One Arena on March 30th. Could Ovechkin get a couple more goals going and get that pace accelerated, or he might be in range to break Gretzky against Buffalo? We'll have to see. But one more shot for the Sabres with Ovechkin this year in Washington, and it is a great story. And Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky are going to start following Ovechkin around when he's within 5 goals of the record. And we saw this in Buffalo in 1982 when Gretzky broke the single-season record and Phil Esposito was following him around until the night he broke the record at Memorial Auditorium.
Trade deadline is March 7th, so we are going to have a lot to talk about, even during the Four Nations break. Mike, I think that's a wrap for this week. Thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.